Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, and peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places, and of course I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Today is November the 6th, 2014, and I am coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, and thanks to incredible advancements in technology, we can all come together from all over the country and the earth. There is a great deal going on. I want to share with you once again the number, 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. And when you call that number, you can join the discussion here on Elevated Places. And, of course, we know that this program has become renowned for being a forum for the highest level of discussion about issues that matter most to the 40-plus descendants of slaves in North America, the Caribbean, and around the world. Tonight, we're going to talk about a few things. And, of course, this is the Ask Dr. Ava version of Elevated Places. You know that we also have radio Elevated Places on WVON here in Chicago every Sunday, 4 Central, 5 Eastern. Tonight is always more of an open forum. And it's called Ask Dr. Ava because we guide you with themes that are prevailing and important to us, but we don't hold you to that. You can call and introduce any topic that you find of interest and ask any questions. And, of course, I am joined on Elevated Places by two wonderful brothers, one of whom is Brother Terrence Muhammad. I was just about to indicate to you we couldn't expect him this evening because I know he mentioned Blue Mountains last week, but somehow he always manages to slip away from wherever he is, and that's really a tremendous attribute, and we thank him for it because he's doing some serious things around the country. And so he always manages. I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan instituted a steal-away program back in the 90s, which we're going to revisit that as well. It's interesting because one of the things I want to touch on tonight is Muhammad's economic blueprint, which we can never get too far away from. But Brother Terrence, my illustrious co-host, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you feeling, and are you allowed to disclose your location this evening?
I am feeling great. I am leaving
like
the mountains. The mountains where am I leaving? I am leaving the mountains of Blue Mountain Lake and it's like 2 hours up from Albany. And I said, well, let me get on the road so I can get some phone reception, because I had no phone reception, so I could make the show. I'm heading back to Albany to catch an early flight. But it's very interesting because I'm here with people from across the country and literally across the world dealing with the issue of climate change and having that discussion. But it's just a funny scenario, because where I am or where the retreat I was at, you know, it's like we don't have these retreats and we need to have these retreats. But it shows me the mindset of a whole different world and what other people are plotting and planning and strategizing to do globally. And that's why I thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for making us global in our scope of thinking and our minds, and actually universal. But, you know, to go into some of the things that are very, very critical at this particular time, of course, we know that for those that are Democrats and black people are hurting because of the elections. Of course, the Republicans have taken over the Senate, and so now we're going to look at a lot of conditions that's going to be affecting President Obama. We're going to look at a lot of stuff as it relates to jobs, health care, minimum wage. So it's a lot of transitions that are really going to affect black people. So even though we may not be the strongest advocates of going to the polls and voting, we are advocates of setting up our own. So this is a greater push now that we see what has transpired in the midterm elections, that we put out our resolution, and as Minister Farrakhan tweeted out, to vote for Master Farah Muhammad. We need to vote for the Christ. That's where our vote should be going, and we should vote for the program of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and all that he is doing, because he had just recently tweeted out that our work is out in the street, and that's where we need to get back to. So there's a lot of things that are going on that we need to take or be aware of. And one of those things that I would definitely talk about that we have to be aware of, Sister Ava, is that we know on tomorrow, I think there is some verdict or some legalities that will be taking place in Ferguson. I didn't get a chance to get all the details, but there is some court cases and things that are going to be released tomorrow. And I know they're calling in the National Guard into Ferguson to prepare for any outbreaks that may take place. I know there's a national call going on tonight with national black organizations to discuss Ferguson, but it's very key that that's going on at the same time. I just want to show you how things, by the grace of Allah, has lined things up. Because as the Ferguson pops off tomorrow, you will be speaking in Milwaukee with the subject, Justifiable Homicide, the Ultimate Solution for Justice. You'll be speaking this Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Wisconsin African American Women's Center. That's 3020 West Willett Street. So you'll be in Milwaukee speaking about justifiable homicide right on the heels of what's going to happen in Ferguson. So that'll be a very powerful and key lecture, followed by November 22nd, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be the keynote speaker at Morgan State University, sponsored by the Student and Government Association and the other students that are pushing for him to be here at a reparations conference. So all of the things that you're talking about, the Stillaway, the economic blueprint, we must get involved in that. As, like I said, we're watching the situation in Ferguson. We have watched what went down with the election. So we have done the economic program of others. We have done the election process of others. Now it's time for us to finally try and do and implement the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as given to us and taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So hopefully I stay on if my signal remains, but I'm going to get back on the road. But I could not miss Ask Dr. Ava tonight on Thursday.
We would never be as precise on the issues as we are when you open up. I really am grateful to you for what you just gave us, because you have a very unique insight. and you pull things together in a way to really get us on track and keep us on track by connecting current events with the teachings. And, you know, those of you on the line, this is a very brilliant gathering that's happening now via internet, whether you are on the phone or logging in, because of all the silly, stupid, dumb, freakish things that you could be engaged in, you're doing this. And that speaks volumes in a world where the gravitational pull of the enemy of God is so profound, and where every day freakish conduct and criminal behavior becomes increasingly acceptable. And so we appreciate you so much, Brother Terrence, and that with all that you're doing and all the movement, you still, you know, make time to give us that valuable contribution. And also on the line, of course, is the student minister of agriculture of the Nation of Islam, our economist, our contributor, our analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Ridgely. And you're another man, you and your wife, Sister Anne, who are thoroughly engaged in nation building. And so you too, we appreciate your time so much, and welcome on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and it is indeed an honor and a privilege to be able to have some intelligent conversation. Me and my wife, we have it every day when we eat. But I know that sister called in and said, you know, she can only get it once a week. So we feel sorry for those people, but at least we do have once a week that we can have intelligent conversations.
It's like a needle in a haystack in America now. You know, you turn on network news even, and it's just idiotic.
That's right.
You know, all I'm seeing this week is Taylor Swift. What's a Taylor Swift? Who cares? You know,
right.
But the obsession with this kind of stuff is absolutely amazing. It just defies logic. But to Brother Terrence, to your opening point, elections, huge event on Tuesday. Not surprising, though, but monumental. And trust and believe, it is relevant to a degree, because the black community is going to feel the effects of this. You know, just when we think we're at rock bottom, we find out the bottom is a little lower than we thought it was. And these people are absolutely relentless in their pursuit of the destruction of President Obama's legacy, which is his signature legislation, the Affordable Health Care Act. Not perfect by a long shot, but absolutely phenomenal. For President Obama to get the Affordable Health Care Act through Congress, It's like the political equivalent of the NBA championship, the World Series, the Super Bowl, Venus and Serena winning Wimbledon. In the world of politics, he is the baddest thing out there. We cannot appreciate it, just like we're not able to appreciate the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the highest level of all this, at the pinnacle of human endeavor, in that he is the vehicle through whom the Lord of the world is speaking his will in this hour. But as always, the enemy, like a dark cloud blocking sunlight, always stops us from being able to even comprehend the achievements of our own people. Now, this, of course, what I saw, and I want to get your take on the panel, and, of course, we've already got callers on who are ready to ask questions and make comments. You know, I've got the New York Times here. I got it yesterday, and we had a our council meeting, so I haven't had a chance to read it, but the headline, GOP takes Senate, and I always make sure I get the New York Times for analysis.
Right.
But, you know, to me, one of the first things I saw in it is how you never win when you compromise. When, as we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Study Guide Number 3, Overcoming Difficulty, whenever we turn away from difficulty, he teaches, there is a deterioration in character. And every one of those Democrats who lost these Senate races, or at least just about everyone, distanced themselves
right.
from the president, right?
That's right.
Now, you're right. a Democrat. You're a Democrat. And the leader of the Democratic Party is the president of the United States, Barack Obama. But because he is, and there's no other reason, as Brother Jabril would say, there's no other reason for it, because he is a black man, and you are trying to get your fellow graphs to vote for you, you decide to put out commercials, and you're, all you're saying in your commercial is how you don't agree with Barack Obama.
Right, right.
Okay? And naturally, nobody likes a turncoat.
Come on.
Even Satan doesn't appreciate a turncoat. In law enforcement, the police will use you, the FBI will use you all day long, but they detest you. Because if you're the kind of person that can go and pretend to be someone's friend and get close enough in some circle that you are trusted sufficiently to bring information that ultimately is used against the person who thinks that you're their friend, nobody can trust you then. So even the people using you. So these Caucasians, do they honestly think that Tea Party people were going to vote for them? Are they serious? So they would have been better. And even, I got to say, the president, he tabled immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Until after the election, because
right.
he was trying to please and placate the white vote. So what happens in Colorado? The Latino vote stays home.
Come on.
See, why should we, Mr. President, who put you over the top in the last
right.
midterm, by the way, right? It's that Latino
right.
vote that is huge in Colorado now. We saved you the last time, and this time we're the reason you got buried. And it's the same thing with black people. You know, it takes us a long time because we have no birth record, no beginning or end, so we take forever. But ultimately, we get the message too. And we're beginning to recognize that just you sitting and threatening us is meaningless. You know, you're yelling at us. You know, the Negro minions. Y'all better go out and vote. You better go out and vote, because if you don't, the Republicans are going to get in office. But what have you shown us when they're not
right.
in office? And I just want to read this quickly from the Final Call newspaper, where there's two things I'm going to share in the course of the evening. The extremes on the spectrum. Because we all need to come to terms with the fact that the middle class, which is where most black people feel they're in the hereafter when they get in it, the middle class is an illusion.
Right.
It is an illusion. There is no such thing. It's very recent, and it has already come to an end. Now,
right.
this truly is a nation of the haves and the have-nots. It really is. Because even people in the so-called middle class, as someone assessed, one economist, if you can't pay off all of your creditors on demand, then you are in trouble, okay? You are not stable if you can't do that, if need be. If you need it, if your mortgage was accelerated and tomorrow your lender said, I'm calling in, I want you to pay the balance, can you do it? Then what we have, we call our home an asset, right?
Right.
We make it number one on any list. What's the most valuable thing you own? My home. Is it your home? Really? And even once you pay it off, there's something called property taxes.
Right.
And how many black people, Dr. Ridgely, spend 30, 40 years paying off a home, and by the time we finish, which is criminal in itself, that I can live in this country, and it takes me my whole life to pay for a house. And then when I finally do that, I'm 70 years old, 65 years old, whatever. I'm in retirement now. Now I'm on a fixed income. But no matter how much I say it's my house, I owe the county property taxes.
Right.
And if I don't pay those taxes by law, the government can come and take my home.
That's right. That's right.
So ownership is really an illusion if we don't possess sufficient assets to protect assets. And the only real asset is land. Land. And when we say owning land, not only you as an individual, but you better be part of a community that believes what you believe, thinks what you think, and shares your ancestry, your history, and your experience so that you don't run the risk of spending your whole life buying a home that can be snatched out from under you. But I'm just going to read not all of it, but just to get this going. Final call, this is from last week's issue, November 4th. 90% of Americans are poorer today than in 1987. And so here's a study that's in the final call, and also the head of the Federal Reserve is signing off on this report. 90% of U.S. households poorer than in 87, quote, this is from Matt O'Brien in the Washington Post, the new harsh reality is that the bottom 90% of households are poorer than they were in 1987. It has been a lost 25 years for the bottom 90%, but a lost 15 years for the next 9%. So together, the bottom 99% are worth less today than in 1998. So all of us are, unless somebody in the 1% is listening, maybe the guy that owns Blog Talk, the bottom 99% are worth less today than in 1998. That's when Bill Clinton, I think, was president. The wealthiest 5% of American households had 54% of all the wealth in 89. In 2010, their share rose to 61%, and in 2013, it reached 63%. That's under the Obama administration. By contrast, the rest of us held, not even the rest of us, okay, those in the top half of the remaining wealth distribution in 2013 had a net worth of somewhere between 81,000 and 1.9 million, held 43% of the wealth in 1989. That dropped to 36% in 2013. All right, so the point of the matter is that old saying, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. We better understand the truth of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, no matter what your theological leanings are. I don't care what your religion is or who your God is. This is math here. This is reality here. For every dollar you and I got, white folks on the average have $20. Okay? So, and if I have $1,000, the white dude down the street has $20,000. It is futile, absolutely futile, to think that we are ever going to close that gap functioning within their paradigm. We have to create a new paradigm. So with that, I want to get the panel's comments, and then we'll go to the phones.
Bro Terrence, you there?
Yeah, I'm, you know, I think, as I'm driving along, one of the things I think that we have pointed out, the reality is that, like you said, David, there is no way to close a gap using the same paradigm that created the gap. So you have to go outside of the system, outside of the box, to change that reality. And the best and only solution is separation. We cannot continue to be in the same game with the same controllers of the game and expect out, you know, for us to win. Just as we went and fought, bled, and died for the Voting Rights Act, we see that they can change the game and take the Voting Rights Act from us, where we have to fight for again 50 years later. So every game that we always get, they always find a way politically and economically to take it away. And you have funders and backers institutionally that are actually funding our oppression, like an Art Polk out of North Carolina, where his stores are in the black community, which we go shop and fund our own oppression, or the Koch brothers that took billions of dollars for our oppression. You know, whatever way they do it in, or just the average white person who just gets the benefits of being white in America.
Exactly.
Yeah, we cannot continue to do the same old thing, because we are actually insane, you know, doing the same old thing expecting a different result. That's insanity. So until we accept the leadership and the God-given messenger in our midst, in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and see him for who he is, then we will continue to be in the condition that we're in poverty, in want, still fighting another 50 years later for jobs and justice.
And I just wanted to chime in on that to show you how futile it is to think you're going to work yourself in this system out of the condition. You know, Minister, if you brought to my attention, and we'll get into later, I did the breakdown on those 400 billionaires, the top 400 Forbes, in terms of what type of professions they had or how they're making their money. And later on, we'll break that down. But just to show you what it is to make $1 billion, do you know how long it would take a person working 10 hours, making $10 an hour, working 40 hours a week? How long would it take them? How many years would it take them to make $1 billion? Well, it would take them approximately 34,246 years, working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, at $10 an hour. It would take them 34,000
years.
34,246 years. Now, to turn around the other way, so let's see, how many people working for $10 an hour, 40 hours a week, 52 weeks in a year, how many people would it take to make $1 billion? Well, it would take 48,077 people working full-time at $10 an hour to make $1 billion. So how do you think you're going to work yourself out of the condition, and where every time you turn around and you spend your money, part of your money is going to them because they control the financing of the system? And the studies have shown that, I'm going to bring out in my new book, have shown that 30 to 40% of everything that you buy, the cost goes towards interest payments to the bankers.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
To the bankers of the world. So every time you spend your money, 30 to 40 cents out of a dollar goes to them, and they do nothing but use their money to grow money off of you. You do the work, and they suck up the wealth. So how can you ever catch up? And just like now, we found out that, you know, Wells Fargo, we have an account with Wells Fargo. We wrote a check to one of our commissions for our Stable Goods Project. They go to Wells Fargo in their city, and then the Wells Fargo want to charge them a check cashing fee on a check written for Wells Fargo.
My God.
So the, every time you turn around, they got fees and conditions that they're going to make their money. And because of the law, you have to pay. And they use the law to make you pay so they get rich. Plus, of course, they own the whole country with the Federal Reserve. So how can you catch up? And in that same time frame you were mentioning, the top 1% increased their income by 240%. While everybody else is flatlining and going down, here the top 1% over that same time period increased their income by 240%. So, and the type of where they're making their money is just on playing money. It's an investment. It's not production. We can get into it later. They ain't producing nothing except they got wealth, and they flip that wealth, and they get the suckers to try to invest with them, and they get took. So it's all nothing but smoke and mirrors and suckers. That's why we call it the sheepdog and the evil shepherd. And we will show how this evil shepherd is sucking both the sheep and the sheepdog. So these white folks who are the middle class, they have been used to beat up on the black folks to take our money, but then the evil shepherd comes and just rips them off with a ballpoint pen. And this is the game. So we have to determine, who are we going to follow? Are we going to continue to follow Satan, the devil, or God, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, now raised up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Mr. Farrakhan? What are we going to do?
That's right.
So,
and how long is it going to take us to act upon it?
That's right. The reality.
Because, he, you know, as you spoke of, when we, every time we pay interest on something, you know, knowing, being given these teachings, no matter what other people are doing.
Right.
Even in the worst case scenario, this supreme knowledge we are being given as a gift from Allah and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Minister Farrakhan, it empowers the individual. And a nation's wealth cannot flourish if the individuals that comprise that nation do not flourish. You have to have the creation of products and services. We're being misled by leadership, self-appointed leadership, that is actually expressing the enemy's will for us by directing us toward jobs. We should not have an entire economy that consists of jobs. That's the whole black economy.
That's right.
It's jobs. You just broke it down. 34,200 some years to acquire $1 billion working at a job. You cannot have an independent economy unless somebody among us is creating jobs. We all can't be sending out resumes. Some of us have to be receiving resumes.
That's right.
Even Chris Rock in his stand-up a few years ago broke down rich versus wealthy. You have a lot of rich black people, but very few wealthy black people. Because rich is money, and money certainly helps create wealth, but it is not wealth. Money is symbolic of your position in the economy. But real economic independence is creation of products and services. You're not getting around it. And we need to start acting accordingly, and to the extent possible, as we are taught, we've got to stop borrowing money. In other words, spending what we don't have yet. Debt is slavery, we are taught.
Right.
And look at what you just said. Look at Wells Fargo Bank, which was involved in the slave trade, as I understand, or slavery. But here's a bank that's charging people a fee for what cost it nothing, because it's a transaction that is all being conducted within its parameters.
Right. On the computer.
I got my driver's license renewed today. And I say today, but I've been at it for like a week and a half, because we have to have your birth certificate. I got here. It is right here. Oh no, no, no. That's a photocopy.
Oh, come on.
We need a certified copy.
Come on.
Oh yeah. So I, wow. I wasn't born in Illinois. I was born in Ohio. So I gotta go online and order it so it can get here real quick. Because my birthday, you know, I'm a procrastinator. I did admit that. So I got to get this done by tomorrow. Tomorrow would have been my deadline. So it cost me $53, people.
Oh, my God. Come on now.
$53 with fast processing. And, you know, it takes them a second to do this.
Right.
Okay?
Come on.
But
come
between
on.
Paying them to send it to me, and UPS with second day air and the processing fees and all that, it is $53. Then I was married in Illinois. The only bright light in all this was looking at Minister Farrakhan's name on my wedding certificate and having a moment of remembering the minister, Marion Darius, and I. But I go down. We got to have the certified copy, so I got to go downtown, pay $15 to park. Go in, then the marriage certificate is $15. All right? Mm. So it's $53 and $30. We're at $83. Then I go to get the driver's license itself. All I'm doing is giving you the one I have, and you're giving me another one because I've had my Ohio license since I moved back. I'm giving you that one, and you're giving me an Illinois license, and that's $30. So see, I'm past $100, and people are lined up doing this.
Come on.
For you to see my face smiling at you in my wallet with facts that everybody already knows.
Come on.
So
of being black,
this
American.
Is why we have to step out of this. That, you know, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They go get theirs, buddy.
And, you know, but that goes back to Ava, just the issue of my passport and the reality that in less than 42 hours, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the availability and the capability to get it to you. It's about what you got to put out, what, you know, who you know
exactly.
to get that what you need. I've gone to banks and I've gone to certain places and they said, we're going to waive that. You don't have to pay that. Don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. We'll just type in the computer, your
mm-hmm.
fees are waived. This is waived. That's waived. So it really depends on who you know, what you know to get through
right.
the system. But like you said, most people ain't got time to figure out who to know, what or even know that they can do other things
right.
besides going through the quote-unquote way that the system should be. So when we start talking about politics and we start talking about the economy, a lot of our people do not know that they have an alternative, and that's why going to the masses, going to the people, teaching them of the alternative,
exactly.
and not just teaching, showing the alternative way to what they're dealing with, because you can no longer go saying, the white man is this, the white man is this, and then you're in poverty and want yourself going to the same enemy that you're blaming. We have to
exactly.
support the economic blueprint. We have to show the cleanliness and the repairedness of us, and that's why the beauty of the mighty MGT in Jamaica was such a beautiful sight to the brothers and sisters of an example of repair. But not only the look, but we have to have the sustainable things that Dr. Ridley started to talk about and that we started to talk about last week about the industry, the nation, and how it looked in those last years before the partner of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and what that translated into. So those realities and those glitches will always be there if we're in that system.
That's exactly right. And we're going to the phones right now, just real quick, and Dr. Ridley raised that we were discussing the Forbes 400, the richest Forbes
right.
magazine, whose founder was also a billionaire, puts out the 400 richest people in America each year. And these 400 people, it's just 400. We're not even dealing with a percentage anymore. 400 people, just like a room full of people. Pardon me. Now, this is the inside cover page. The rich just keep getting richer thanks to a booming stock market and the irrepressible energies of a new generation of entrepreneurs. The 400 wealthiest Americans are now worth $2.3 trillion.
Come on.
That amount is up 13% from 1 year ago. The class of 2014, they call it, has an average net worth of $5.7 billion, and it took a minimum of $1.55 billion to make the grade, meaning 113 U.S. billionaires are now too poor for inclusion in the Forbes 400.
Come on.
We're going to get, as you said, Dr. Richard, we'll get into that breakdown. We're I don't have a screener tonight, so I'm going to call out area codes, and I'm going to start with, I'm going right down the line in sequence. 913 area code. Assalamu alaikum. You are live on Elevated Places. 913. Are you there? Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back. 910 is next.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Darcelle. How are you doing, family?
Wonderful.
Fine,
and I should have said I've got a lot of some nines here tonight. Okay, yeah, you're 919. Yes, ma'am.
919?
All right. 919.
Yes.
Uh-oh. I missed. Okay, I'm going to come back to
your brother,
Mr. Darcelle. You can tell I'm inept at this. Now, 919, who is this?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Yeah, this is Brother Terrence, double R.
Oh, okay. Yes,
yes,
sir.
All praises due to Allah. And I'm going to go quickly because y'all
forever
touched on so much. All praises due to Allah. The 919 adding up to 19, the signature of God. But I wanted to talk about what Brother Terrence said about the brilliant gathering. You know, and this is so important because, you know, he said something pointing to the elections. And I want to point, because I'm here in Raleigh, in the capital city of North Carolina. My post is downtown, right down the street from the legislators. Okay. I'm getting on my phone. I'm getting off the headphone. I'm right down the street from the legislature. Tom Tillis beat Kay Hagan, right? Our people are such a whimper about it. But look, see, they don't know the Koch brothers was behind Tom Tillis. Let's look at the Koch brothers. I'm going to give you a statement from out of Forbes magazine, since you was talking so much about Forbes tonight, Sister Ava.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the rich and how they think and what they talk about. Charles Koch said most powers is power to coerce somebody, right? But look what he said. He said, we get threats from people in the Congress all the time, and this is pushed out and becomes part of the culture that we are evil, so we need to be destroyed. See what I'm saying? See how they try to take the light off of themselves. You see, and chat, oh, they're the bad guys. They're just mad because we got money. But how did you obtain your riches? You feel what I'm saying?
That's right.
Now, I'm looking at the Forbes 400 from 2012, I think, Sister Ava. But guess who's on that cover in between two white men? It's Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. But guess who the sister in the middle is? Childless. Don't have no child. Don't want to bring a minister on her show. I'm talking about Oprah.
Oprah. The only black person on this list, by the way.
Thank you. And she's on the cover of Forbes with them. Let me just go on quick. Do you want to go back to Jamaica for Brother Terrence? Because he was with Luciano, who they call the messenger. And I love reggae music, especially the conscious, because all they speak is, you know, scriptures. They teach upliftment. You follow me? The Rastas is true. You know what I mean? Regardless of what you think might be, you know, what you would say not in agreement of what you believe and what you think is right. You feel what I'm saying? The law is the righteous. You don't let him judge. So what I want to go back to is the same what goes on in the hip-hop community in the U.S. goes on in Jamaica, too. But I want to end on two things because why I'm going here is because one is Buju Banton. Straight words with our brother Richard Muhammad. He dealt with the Buju Banton case and how they framed our brother. But see, he's been taking backlash since Batty Boy. See, he was the gay community was on Buju when he first came out. And he withstood all of this. But let me move on because Bob Marley is the most important. Since the cover of the new Final Call, let me make a correction from last week when I said that the CIA and what you call Kill the Messenger was on page one. No, it was on page two. Well, it's on page one this week, so forgive me. Now, what happens is Bob Marley's death is centered around Carl Kobe, who's the son of William Kobe, who the minister mentioned in the time and what must be done. Now, this is his son. He was supposed to bring him these boots where the copper wire was in there that had a carcinogen in it, and they said 2 months later that's when they diagnosed that he had caught the cancer from and it came out of that toe. They said he was hiding out in a location unknown. And Carl Kobe, the son of the CIA director, gets there and brings him these boots. When Bob puts his feet in these boots, he yells out, and he got this sore in there from these boots. So I just want to leave on that because it's so much. No, I don't want to leave on that. No, I want to leave on this point where you mentioned the study guide overcoming difficulty, and there's three surahs that the minister point out, Surah 2, Surah 93, and Surah 94. And I'm going to show you the minister in just the first ayah. It says the expanding. It says, with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the ever merciful, I commence to read Surah Al-Shura. And it says, have we not in fulfillment of your vision, listen to this, in your boyhood, and again, when you were entrusted with the divine message or the divine mission, opened, expanded, and illuminated for you your bosom. I just want to leave it on that because you missed. Yeah,
that's
I'm done.
Beautiful.
Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. I love y'all, Sister Ava, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence Muhammad, my twin. I love y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Terrence. I told you this is just a night of brilliance. And we've got to go out here and make sure we expose our people to this level of conversation so we can bring out about that new paradigm. I'm going to go back to 910. Now, Sister Darcel?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
All right.
Really, how are you?
We're all great, and yourself?
Yes, and so am I. You know, after the elections here in North Carolina, that they spent more money than any state in the country to attempt to retain someone that was not attainable or retainable. I know some secret stuff on that personal candidate for senator, and I'll share that at another time. But what I thought was pretty interesting, the sun rose. It was a beautiful, well, quote, Carolina blue day. The next day after the elections, and I had the privilege to work with the polls to tell people in 2016 they got to have their proper ID. So if it costs that much money for you to get a driver's license, just imagine here that they're going to have certain demands on the population to provide, to prove who they are, and if they have, I guess, human, if they're totally human and that human is experience. But I just want to do some more more pro-thinking as far as some of the stuff that's happened, especially with the election, to think that $11 billion was spent. And then the media is basically co-opted in all of this because they make money. And I was thinking, wow, is there any black agencies or anything, television stations that are really owned other than OWN with Oprah that we make money in all of this madness? And I really don't think that happens. And I would like to just make sure that we change some terminology, minimum wage. I don't even like the sound of that.
Exactly.
I would like to be more proactive and say living wage. So we need to make that part of our vocabulary and our dichotomy. And you spoke about taxes, and I tell you, I thought what is so genius living here in the South, in certain neighborhoods, which I happen to live in such, not only will you always be holding to your taxes, but we have association fees. And it's here, it's like, if you can't, you may be able to afford the taxes, but if you can't pay for the covenants and the association fees, you can't afford to live. And you can have everything paid off, but you still got to pay that additional money to live where you may live. And I thought
exactly.
That was just genius. Devilish, but genius to make sure you're still paying
it's wicked.
For
wicked.
This. But seeing that,
yes,
I guess Brother Terrence is on a retreat, and I love retreats, and it's really interesting when you're sort of sequestered, how certain ideas and how agendas are produced, and I was hoping that perhaps we could do something like that, and Brother Ridgely, I've been really appreciating what you're talking about, black farmers and all that information that you share. But I was hoping perhaps we consider having a retreat with sustenance and having sustainable food from the farm and a farm-to-table retreat, and that we could possibly we'll be supplying everything from the farm and having an event. So that was something I would just like to put out there. And we do have the appropriate knowledge, and we just need to just share that. And I know a lot of people would like to just talk about this, the election and such, but we didn't make any money off of this. And they have it down to a science. 2016, that's not the date we need to really worry about if we're going to be in these confines. It's 2020. Why? It's census-based, and once you control the census, you can control how you gerrymander. And I'm so happy to hear from my family, from my
All right.
dose of reality, and my, just hearing from everyone and keeping me aware. So peace be with
All
you.
Right.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you. Thank you so much. A lot of good points. And, you know, I just want to back up to Brother Terrence, Double R Terrence, on the Koch brothers, and, you know, who, of course, Dr. Ridgely are on the list. In fact, they're fourth richest.
Right.
The two brothers, Charles and David. And I read a little of their biography in another magazine a few months ago. This is a family filled with vicious in-house fighting. But it's very interesting, and when you think of the books, Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, making yourself aware of the wealth in America and who has it will show you a straight, unbroken line from the cotton fields to this list. And, you know, it's very interesting the way, and his sister Darcel was just talking about how they define and redefine stuff. You know, if you look at the source of the wealth, every name on the list, they give you a little short, a couple sentences about the person.
Right.
And they tell you where their wealth came from. So coming in at number four, the Koch brothers, who are pouring millions and hundreds of millions into these elections, as Brother Terrence noted. Now, each of the two brothers, their other brother is like 167th on the list because he's just enjoying life. Yeah, he's poor. He's 167. $42 billion apiece. And when you look at the source, it says diversified.
Come on.
That's where your money comes from. You're not at the root of where you got that money from, because they're not going to go back to where Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews is going to take you. See, because, again, an economy requires products and services. And you cannot produce anything without ultimately going back to land. If you look at a wooden table, you're talking about a tree, which means you're talking about land, all right? But diversified in financial terms means they are investing their money in more than one place.
Right.
We think about diversity. We think about, well, they need to hire some black people over at that company and a couple of Latinos and a couple of women. No, they are saying what you said earlier, Dr. Ridgely, their money makes money. See, there's a point of no return on the poverty end, and there's a point of no return on the wealthy end. That's what Chris Rock was saying. If you're truly wealthy, you can't even get rid of it.
That's right. That's
you
right.
can't even get rid of it. And so these people, the Koch brothers, they make things like Dixie cups, paper towels. They own oil pipelines and refineries. That's the business their father was in. See, but what they're doing now, and they're called capitalists.
That's right.
Not Democrats or Republicans. They're capitalists. All right, and they are pouring their money into the Republican Party, and they are a big reason why the Senate, such as it is turned over. So I just wanted to make that point.
I want to make a point.
And then I'll go back to the phone.
Right. Yeah, this Sunday, Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont.
Yeah. Vermont, is it? Yes, sir.
Vermont. The only one who's been talking about the Federal Reserve and them giving away those trillions of dollars to their buddies. Now, you know, he's talking about running for president. And so Boyer asking was, are you going to be Democrat or independent? He said, well, you know, I want to be independent, but as an independent, I don't have enough money to even be on the when they have the debates. I will not have enough money to get into the debates. And I said, now, I can't go Republican, but if I go Democrat, the Democrats is bought out, as well as the Republicans, because money is bought both sides. So, and you know, he said, we got to develop some type of progressive agenda. You think you can develop a progressive agenda and maybe the Democrats can take on to it? He said, well, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe they can happen. And then I'm thinking, you know, I've been working with those progressives before, okay, the white progressives. And then Terrence is working with them now, different white progressives. So this is the problem with dealing with the white progressives. When it comes down to it, eventually gay rights is going to pop up. And if you don't go along with them rights, that's going to break up the coalition.
Right.
So we can work
with
the Democrats on all these issues, but they're going to force us to say, well, we got to go along with gay rights because, see, now we're being bigoted against gays. So then that breaks up the coalition. So there's nothing. You got Satan on top and the devil on the bottom, and we're in the middle. There's no way we can work with these people. That's right. We got to take a walk.
We got to walk away.
They can't work with themselves. Look what you said about
the
Koch brothers. They're in infighting, and on those lists, one after one of those lists of those families, those billionaires, they're fighting amongst one another. Hell, they got all the damn money in the world. What the hell are they fighting about? So you want to be at the table of those they're like animals who like they eat what's on their plate and what's on the other person's plate, and guess what? You on both of the plates they eat. Okay?
That's exactly right. Well, we're gonna go to 415. Area code. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Janice out of San Francisco. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was yesterday Tuesday. I was thinking, wow, on these news programs, you know, the talking heads, the black people. I said, in a minute, they're going to look crazy. Even what are you going to talk about anymore? Because you know, I mean, I was thinking, wow, you know, so they're saying the Republicans have not had the whole Senate since 2006, and I said, well, wait a minute. So the Democrats have had the Senate since 2008 and on, and this is where Obama is at?
Come on.
Teach it.
Yeah,
Teach
you know,
it.
I
Make
mean, so when you were saying, Dr. Ava, if you know, if they would have just had some laurels, if they would have just had some loyalty to President Obama, maybe they would have, you know, the command. But that, I said, well, wait a minute, I was confused. I said, the Democrats have had the Senate since 2006. So So that made me think,
exactly.
I was like, well, so what are you talking heads? What are you going to talk about anymore? And it really just feels like the powers that be have just said, look, we're done trying to act like we're not running this when we really are. So let's just go on ahead and just, you know, and take the veil down, because they know their time is up, and so they have to deliver the crushing blow. And the other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking about how much they want for everything you do and being nickeled and dimed, and I'm thinking how every once in a while when I go to the corner store and I get, you know, something for $1.09 or 99 cents, and I stand there and they look at me crazy, and I'm like, you owe me change. I want my penny. And
right.
I mean, the look on these people's face when you stand there for your penny, and I'm thinking the untaxed hundreds of thousands of dollars that they're getting on all of us that just walk out and leave our 2 cents, leave our penny.
Exactly.
And how this world is built off of nickeling and diming,
right.
And yet we have no understanding of the economic blueprint. It's
Come
just
on. That's
it's,
right. That's right.
Crazy. So that was my what was on my mind. Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, well, alaikum salam. You know what? That I love that, because look, when President Obama was elected in 2008, the Democrats had the House,
come on,
the Senate, and the White House.
Come on.
They had complete control of the U.S. government. It was such a devastating blow and such a horrific defeat for the Republicans. They were so devastated, they were actually ready to just disappear for 8 years.
Right.
That's why they had that meeting when he got sworn in. Because they thought he was going to do so much more than he did.
Mm.
But he did not come out swinging. He did not come out with the posture of a warrior, with the attitude of the victor. You know, Muhammad Ali told his opponents in the ring, he told them, this is what I'm going to do to you, okay?
Right.
Then he did it. And then after he did it, say my name.
He talked about it.
He talked about it.
That's right.
You called me Cassius Clay. What's my name?
That's right.
Muhammad Ali. Then the people, Ali, Ali. While the Negro that was calling him Cassius Clay is laying flat out, horizontal. See, you know, it's like Shaka Zulu. They did the film on him, and one of his people said, Why don't you go and try to be friends with this tribe over here? He said, first I have to subdue them.
Mm.
Then we can be friends, once they know who's running this. See, that's where Obama ruined his own presidency.
That's right.
Because you almost acted as though you felt guilty about winning. And Minister Farrakhan told him from the rostrum, do what you went in there to do. He said, and stop being afraid. White people voted for you.
Right.
They expect you to do what you ran on. But that, I'm just saying that in response to Sister's excellent point, and that's why I say black people are done as well. How are you going to threaten us with the Republicans getting in office when you've had it?
Right.
For 8 years.
That's right.
And this is what you've left us with. So we're going to go to, we're going to go to 901 area code. We got two 901s. 901-949.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Brother Hoyo.
All right. Welcome back.
Assalamu alaikum. And assalamu alaikum to Dr. Ridley and Brother Terrence. Excellent show. I want to go back to that editorial from last week's paper, and it says, "We remain the politically despised and rejected, the politically Ebola-stricken bride at the shotgun wedding who won't even get a hug and a kiss. We give and give, but seem to get less and suffer more." It goes back to the point. The Democrat and Republican Party are, you know, controlled by the same people. Let me get some more facts. The buying power of Black America. And this goes back to even Sister's article. This is a powerful article from last week. Why Black folks are afraid to separate and have true independence. Now listen to this, Sister Ava and Dr. Ridley and Terrence, Brother Terrence. The buying power of Black America, which is said that in 2011, income spent by Blacks was at $836 billion, which would make us the 15th wealthiest nation in the world, above Indonesia and below South Korea. A 2013 report by the Cilic Center for Economic Growth estimate our spending power at $1 trillion. That would rank us at 16th, above Indonesia and below Mexico. So we obviously have the money to sustain ourselves. What's the issue then? So, I mean, it's a matter of us, you know, like I said, we got a man in our midst that you know, Allah's going to force it. We're just looking at everything and in a twinkling of an eye. You know,
yes, sir.
Either we're going to get with the program or we're going to die. You say we're going to do
something. That's exactly right.
Or are we going to die, sister? This is a beautiful show. I'm going to let y'all go on. And like I said, it's the Koch brothers. But their time is coming, because when that dollar falls, like we got to talk about the BRICS, you know, the Russia, the America dollar falling. You know, it was that Russia, Brazil, China, and they're getting off the American currency and off that American dollar. What was that called? BRICS, Dr. Ridgely?
That's right, BRICS.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Hoyle.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. And we're going to our other 901. You go ahead, Brother Terrence.
No. I just want to jump in because I wanted to go back to a couple of callers, and there's a couple of things I wanted to mention. I do know, as we were talking about these parties, you know, one of the things we got to realize, and I hope Black people really find out and really understand, that we ain't in neither one of the parties. Neither one of the parties have our best interest. And as we see, we're looking at these party politics. And like you said, the Democrats had control, but what were you doing with the control? And now as we're looking at 2016, now the biggest Democrat candidate that people are looking at is Hillary Clinton. So that means all Black people are going to be behind this white woman to be the next president.
Right.
You know, so why are we continuing to fall into these same traps? And when we have to really understand and really reread the secret relationship between Blacks and Jews and go back to the statement that you made, Sister Ava, that you can't even get rid of the wealth. You know, when wealthy have money, their money make them money just sitting there.
That's right.
So it's almost impossible for them to get rid of the money that they have accumulated over years because the magnitude of wealth that they have. They're not rich. They're wealthy. And wealthy people, their money makes them and keep them wealthy so they continue to have endowments for their children, and it just keeps going down because it has been established over hundreds of years. So that's what we're dealing with, and that's what we're going
right.
up with again. And the equalizing forces, when that dollar falls, is that are we going to be in place with our nation to be able to secure our own and take care of ourselves? And I do understand what the sister said about the minimum wage and living wage, because as we're developing our nation, one of the things about our principle and our lifestyle, we do not need a large amount of money to have a decent way of life. So when we have a way of life that is equal to what we should be working for and get paid, it's okay to have wonderful lifestyle. But we're trying to work in the point in a space where we can live and the fellowship of the believers, and not that you can't have nice things, but there's a different mindset when we develop wealth or develop riches as we're trying to produce this society. And we have to look at the pros and cons of this system as we're trying to set up our own.
Right. Well, you know, the Islam – by definition, is an equalizer, and it prohibits robbing people of their
right.
productivity.
Right. Usury.
The thing that Dr. Ridgely pointed out earlier, see, and that's why it prohibits interest. The
that's
Quran
right.
does not allow you to charge money for money. And most of the people on
right.
this 400 list, they are there because they're making money from money.
Right.
They are not, very few of the people on this list actually provide any
right.
true service to humanity.
That's right.
They're just people that are making money off of money. We're gonna go to the other 901 634 exchange. Welcome,
yes.
Elevated.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Oh, wa alaikum salam.
How's the family? Brother
we're doing
Terrence,
wonderful,
Dr.
sir.
Eden.
How are you?
Oh, the great one! The great one has arrived. Welcome, my brother.
Oh, you're welcome, there, Flight Lieutenant and Mahdi. Look, I got to give Dr. Ridgely some prompts again. The question you asked, brother, was who are you going to follow? And right now, there's not but one man with a message, with a God, and with an economic blueprint that will safely get us through. And
that's, right.
that's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the road to freedom, justice, and equality. You know, Elton John wrote a song and dedicated it to Norma Jean Monroe, who we know as Marilyn Monroe. And a verse in that song said, "You live your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to turn to when the rain set in." And that is our condition. That is the state of affairs for black people today.
Right.
If you go back, there are three plagues that's been dropped on us. And from my measurements, look like it takes 20 years to rise from them. Let me tell you the first one. The first one was heroin in the 60s. We didn't come out from the ether of heroin until 79, early 80. In the 80s, what did they do? They dropped crack cocaine on
great.
Us. And here we are, 2014. We're just coming out from that ether. And the last plague that will bury our people is debt. And we're in so much debt that we're turning homosexual. We're just giving up, walking away. We're killing each other. We're killing our children. Children are killing their parents. And that plague is the last one. So this time that is talked about, I believe with all my heart, is upon us. And the message is right now, Farrakhan.
That's
and
right.
That's my faith. The time and what must be done.
That's
thank
right.
you
yes,
so
sir.
Much, family.
Oh, thank you. And he's exactly right. The last one, debt, which is a returned enslavement. And going back to everyone's point, number 12 on Forbes is Sheldon Adelson. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Adelson, if you all think back to the 2012 election, when Karl Rove fell apart and collapsed, calling into Fox News, attacking Fox for announcing that Barack Obama had won. Well, because he knew he was probably going to be the target of a hit put out by Sheldon Adelson. I haven't heard from Karl Rove in a while. I guess he's around. But anyway, Sheldon Adelson has a net worth. All these people, this is their net worth, okay? $32 billion. Dollars. Source, casinos.
Come on. Gambling. Come on.
Casinos. Okay. The Quran prohibits gambling.
Right. Right.
The stock market is a giant casino.
Come
and
on.
As we all know, the house determines the outcome. So next to his name, instead of a picture of him, they have a card, a King of Spades.
Mm, come on.
And they have his face on it, and S.A., Sheldon Adelson. But it says here, Adelson spent $100 million trying to put a Republican in the White House.
Mm.
To our point. See, the minister taught this years ago. He said the government of the United States had been hijacked.
Right. Come
by
on.
Multinational corporations.
More.
These are not people who are Americans. They could care less about all of this patriotism and flag waving that these semi-literate rednecks in the Tea Party are caught up in. They're just, as you talked about in your book, Dr. Ridgely, you know, the sheep and the sheepdog, okay?
That's right.
And so here's a man who hosted this past March, all of the Republican presidential hopefuls at a Las Vegas event dubbed the Adelson Primary. So before these people ever come out in front of us, the public, on television, they go to these people. They go and meet with the Donald Trumps.
Come on.
See, who Donald Trump is I think Oprah might be ahead of him in wealth. He's on the list, but Oprah at $3 billion net is pretty safely in there. And she's the only black person on there, but like Brother Terrence Doublear pointed out, she's on the cover of 2012 with the Koch brothers, who are arch enemies of black liberation. So I just wanted to point that out. We are running low on time. Let me get a few more people to be able to get their comments and opinions in. We're in the 202 area code now. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava. This is Sister Joella. How are you this evening, my beloved?
Wa alaikum salam. Fine, ma'am.
Oh, praise is due to Allah and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence. How are you today?
We're fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Praise is due to Allah. I just want to say I'm reading Dr. Ridgely's book about the, it is Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yahoo Economy. And on page 128, it talks about cities were not built for people to develop. They were built to house workers for the capitalists. And what we're talking about tonight, the Koch brothers and Zuckerberg, who have made money off of our people, and how we use these Facebook covers to just expose ourselves. And it's so sad that every time the minister has to come out, he's telling us about our behavior. So I'm just saying that we really need to just let our people know that we can use certain things, but just do not be controlled, become slaves again to all of these things that are making these people rich on the Fortune 400 net worth as such. So I just want to say we have to continue going in and teaching our people, and we just hope that we can begin to step out, and the economic blueprint is the way that we have to get, saving our pennies. Pennies, nickels, and dimes. So may Allah continue to bless you, Sister Ava, for this show, the knowledge that you're giving us, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless us as a nation. Thank you.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Excellent call. And you know, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, he's only 30 years old.
Come on.
Number 11 on the list.
Come on.
$34 billion net worth. See, and here's the key. Now, he just purchased from another young Jewish guy the WhatsApp, okay? It's a messaging application. $19 billion in cash. And like Sister said, it's not that you can't use Facebook. We're on Blog Talk Radio right now. It's how you use it, but bigger than that, it's pooling resources. It's, you know, not allowing God's will to execute on our behalf, so that means it's going to come down on our head eventually. If we would stop running around here like a bunch of crazies and let Minister Farrakhan negotiate on our behalf,
right,
and leverage our $1 trillion, then we wouldn't be suffering like this, because we are on Facebook more than anybody.
Mm.
We're on Facebook more than anybody. I'm going to go now to 601 area code. Welcome to Elevated Places. You are live.
Thank you very much. Basically, I'm just going to comment on two of the issues that you mentioned,
yes,
regarding good debt and bad debt and socialist versus capitalist. I just wanted to make the point, I guess, that until and unless, you know, we enhance and increase our knowledge of finances and financial literacy, I think we will always be, you know, in a position of an employee or a proletariat from a socialist standpoint. I guess to give an example, a lot of athletes, like I think it's the Manning family, they own Bank Plus. But you never hear about athletes, you know, perhaps opening banks to enhance their position, because the wealth is measured in time, and oftentimes those wealth-generating things or assets that produce wealth, and we have to be made aware, I think, collectively, of the importance of the accumulation of wealth via income-producing assets. And thank you very much for filling my question.
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent call. Thank you so much.
The only answer I got to that is Commonomics 2, the sheepdog, and the evil shepherd.
And it is, it has been published. It is listed
it has
on Amazon.com. Oh, it hasn't been published. Let me shut up. Okay.
Well, yeah, it's been published. It's just that they haven't printed it yet. You know, they haven't printed it yet. We'll get our first print copies on November 19th. They should have it up to be able to purchase it. You can put it in now, and when it gets in,
pre-order.
They'll give you an email,
right?
You can go ahead on and purchase it online. But it's out, it's published, and there's a follow-up to Commonomics too, like Sister Joella said. We brought some things there. This is a continuation, and just piece by piece, you know, my minor is finance, and I've had a chance to be trained in the devil's world but be re-educated in Muhammad's world. And I think I have a very good perspective of how this system works. So you'll see it in the next book, inshallah.
Well, you know, that is a very important point. And as the caller just pointed out, about if we don't understand finance,
right?
And you may say, well, we don't need to understand because we're getting ready to go in another world. No, you won't be motivated to do what need to do until you see what they're doing. See, your mind has got to accept, as we opened up the show with, the futility of trying to become equal and justified in their paradigm. See, that's the only thing that's going to make you walk away from it, because it's too attractive and magnetic. It's like a drug. We can't leave it without help. We have to so turned off by the wicked manner in which it's being sustained and the racism that it's wrapped around, see, that we will now turn and say, you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Minister Farrakhan. And again, pooling resources. Now look at this. To show you how, I think Brother Terrence pointed out earlier, that the game keeps changing, okay? The rules keep changing, the rules. Now, you all remember Donald Sterling and his faux pas, that really private comments that were released, I believe, purposely by his adversaries. Now, he was kicked out of the NBA. They sold his team, took his team from him. But Donald Sterling is 219 on the list. He's Oprah's richer than him, but he's got $2.8 billion. He's on the list. Guess what happened with Donald Sterling? His Jewish brother, Steve Ballmer, who's number 18 on the list with $22 billion, purchased the Clippers for $2 billion. Now, is it a coincidence, which the messenger said there is no such thing, that now that black people are starting to move into the billionaire level,
come on,
that all of a sudden $1 billion won't get you on this list, and now you can't buy these teams anymore?
Listen,
because if the Clippers will bring $2 billion,
come on,
and they just happened to stumble into the playoffs last year, then what do the star teams and the dynasties or potential dynasties, what are they worth?
Come on.
But see, we don't think like that. We actually fear one another's success.
Come on.
Because we think like the white man. And so that is what we've got to come out of. But believe it or not, we're down to 4 minutes, and I've got to get this great announcement in. Next week, we're going to do our monthly books and films, and our special guest next week will be Sister Tracy Muhammad, and joining her on the program, Sister Tracy's book was just released, Journey to Joy, Morning Motivations and Random Observations. And when you get introduced to this, but this next book, these authors are also going to be joining her on the air. This book is entitled Married to an MGT.
Come on.
It is co-written by Jihad Hassan Muhammad and Rodney Assad Muhammad. These are two young brothers who were both married to beautiful Muslim women who passed away. They lost their wives at a young age, and they're sharing with us the joy that they experienced being married to women who are followers of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and how they overcame the loss of their wives. But these are also brothers, and this sister, Tracy Muhammad, is also my editor. Brother Rodney Assad is also a motivational speaker. And so if you are somebody that kind of finds yourself at a loss right now, as well, what do I do with all this supreme wisdom that I have? He can help you pull that together.
Great. Wow. There's a lot of brilliance coming out of the nation right now, Minister Ava.
I'm sorry, Dr. Ridgely.
No, I just said a lot of brilliance coming out of the nation at this point. Is now
it really
seems
is.
That things are coming together.
You know what? What cast your breads upon the waters, and after many days,
right,
it will return to you. That is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This is what his sacrifice is producing. You know, on this whole thing of $1 billion. You know, back in 1994, when the nation's legal team, led by myself and also including Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad, we sued the New York Post for $4.4 billion, people laughed. They laughed. Because $1 billion was viewed as some astronomical crazy number. But we see what $1 billion is now. So, Dr. Ridgely, we got to get around working 34,000 years and get involved in Muhammad's economic blueprint. May Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, the whole Elevated Places team. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.